I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast featuring me, Alexander Bennett.
And me, Andy Barr.
In this podcast we play clones of ourselves, and the clones of ourselves have had 24 hours to learn about three things.
Yes, and then special comedian guests are invited to explain other things to them using the three things that we've already named as a frame of reference.
It's a wonderful Chortle Award losing comedy format.
You bet your bottom ass.
The three things that we know about in this episode are
Colonel Sanders,
the humble crab,
and Bob the Builder.
What's your KFC order, Andy?
Chicken and chips and a drink.
Yes.
That's what I'll have. Yeah.
You know, ask me what mine is.
What's yours?
Yeah, I tend to have chicken and chips and some sort of drink.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe some corn on the cob.
You know, gun to my head. Chicken and chips, drink. And corn. Mm. I'll have corn. That's my side.
I've asked for pizza before, but they look at me askance.
Reticent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they, you know, if you wore them down one day and they come back from they brought you a pizza. That's the fucking floodgates are open then, aren't they? Everybody wanting them.
They can't say yes to me.
No.
You know. I live in a part of London where there are two KFCs within, I would say, 60 seconds walk of each other.
Mm.
And in between that walk is a Domino's. So if I went to one KFC and asked for a pizza and they said no, and then went to the other KFC and just kept doing that, eventually they would go, "It's just getting something from the Domino's. Charge it, mark up the price."
Yeah. Yeah.
Charge him the difference.
What's your Domino's order?
Chicken and chips. This is like other podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you get from the chicken shop? What's your order?
Right, okay. So here we are, we're in the corner shop.
Yeah.
What are you getting?
Well, you've got to, as a starter, you've got to get Pepsi Max.
Oh, Pepsi Max, yeah.
Scratch
card?
Yeah, scratch card for Pepsi Max.
I dip the scratch card.
Yeah. You know, it's the only way to scratch it.
And then I suck it.
Yeah.
Suck all the Pepsi out.
Oh, I've lost again.
Sucking me Pepsi out.
Lost again. Oh, no. I'm so sad that I've lost again. You know what cheers me up?
Sucking the Pepsi out.
You know what cheers me up? Corn on the cob.
Yeah.
It's good. Anyway, if you could ask, what would you have in your Zinger burger?
Mm. And your book's out.
And that's what this podcast would sound like if it had actually won Chortle Awards.
That's the aspiration to get there. Crisps?
What?
Do you eat them?
Yeah.
Great. Crabs? thought about crabs?
Have
you?
I definitely have thought about them, Andy, yeah, at some point. Crabs, you ever thought about them? How dare we mock other formats? The sheer fucking brass neck of us to rag on other formats. Have you ever thought about crabs? Yeah, all the time. All the time.
It's this new podcast. You've got to check it out. 5 seconds long it is. The new guest every week. George Osborne, you're the former Chancellor of the United Kingdom. Have you ever thought about crabs?
Yeah.
Thanks. This has been sponsored by
BetterHelp, is an organisation. I think crabs taste disgusting.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't like crabs.
Right. I've had crab that I've enjoyed previously. Mm.
I quite enjoy crabs as like living things.
Big fan of them.
Yeah.
Big fan
of them. They're good fun, aren't they?
Yeah. When I was younger, some lads that I was friends with went to the sea. And they brought me back a little crab because I'd made a lot of noise about how much I liked crabs. So they brought me back a little crab. And do you remember those old pots that you used to get sort of coleslaw in from Sano's, the delicatessen?
Yeah.
One of those. Bit of seawater in there.
Oh.
I had it on the windowsill. And this sort of something in there became a sort of algal bloom. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it was probably very, very bad for the crab. And I imagine it died.
What did you feed it?
And when I assumed that it was having some of the algae.
Right. Okay.
Released it into a stream in the end. Must have been an absolutely harrowing experience for the poor thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you love something, don't
remove
do
from
that.
Its home,
yeah.
Detained, and then released into a completely unknown environment. And maybe, if you think about that, Andy, that'll make you a little bit more considerate of how we treat our prisoners in this country.
Absolutely.
Have you ever thought about prisoners?
George, have you ever thought about... No. No, I haven't.
Crabs?
Yes. I've thought about them.
Are they not like... This is possibly going to be a thing I'm misremembering. You know how different species evolve?
I think I know what you're doing here.
It's like crabs have evolved in lots of different places. It's like at the same time.
It's sort of like concurrent evolution or something like that. Like lots of things just kind of default towards being crabs.
Yeah.
If
your evolutionary path becomes difficult at any point,
just sort of reset to
the
arm crab.
Right.
Right, fuck these hands, I'm getting pincers.
I've been trying to get these things off the ground. They've got like a snout. I don't really... Let's just pivot back to
this
crab.
This thing spends far too much of its time going forwards.
I hate how soft the exterior of this is.
Yeah, if you could get a proper whack on this and it didn't really move the needle, that'd be great.
Back to crab, thank you very much indeed. All of us are waiting to revert back to crab.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we spend so much of our time thinking about crab.
Yeah.
It's a subconscious sort of evolutionary hangover desire.
There's something fundamental to us.
Yeah.
And when we close our eyes, we think of the sort of the beach.
Are we human or are we dancer? No.
We are crabs.
Remember the Killers? Brandon Flowers, that was his name.
Do you think he ever thinks about crabs?
No. It's probably prohibited. He's a Mormon, isn't he? Or a Jehovah's Witness or one of them.
I think he was raised by Mormons. I don't know if he is a Mormon now.
Right.
He's a Mormon who ended up moving to Vegas.
Yeah.
Very confusing path for a Mormon.
Well, you know, You've got to, you never know your own strength of will and sort of spiritual fortitude until you are absolutely immersed in a den of iniquity.
Mm.
So I think that's what he's doing.
And that's how I've lived my life.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'd noticed. I've been around your house.
Andy.
Yes.
Have you ever spent much time thinking about Bob the Builder?
Yeah, probably a bit.
If you could build a Bob, what would your perfect Bob be?
My perfect Bob would be legs, torso, arms, head. Shoes as well. He's got shoes. No feet, though. How do they stay on? How do they stay on the end of his legs? Nobody fucking knows.
Thank you so much for coming on My Perfect Bob. That was Baroness Varsi.
Yeah, my new book's out.
What's it called?
It's called Baroness Varsi Tells It Like It Is.
You can find
it's actually quite an excoriation of the situation in the modern Conservative Party.
They're walking sideways rather than forward, aren't they?
Mm.
But obviously that's about crabs and we're here to talk about Bob the Builder.
Yeah, I'd definitely start with the head. Build down.
Yeah. I'd go from the feet up, actually.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why not sort of concurrently start with both head and feet and then meet in the middle?
That'd be nice.
Like constructing the Channel Tunnel. And then there'll be like a sort of ceremony as the...
There is, of course, the risk of having a misaligned Bob at the end of it.
Yeah.
You don't want a misaligned Bob, nah. Baroness.
Nice cocks on the end of his arm. Because that was one of the big things about Bob the Builder.
It's huge cock. So what inspired you to write the book, Baroness?
I mean, I guess I was thinking about it at the time. It seems to have bled in.
Well, you keep asking, can we fix it, of the modern Conservative Party?
Well, you know, I don't know if we can.
Anyway, I've got a book out.
Yeah, what is it called? And who are you?
I'm David Baddiel, and the... it's called Hot Takes, is what my my book is called.
Yeah. Great, well, I look forward to...
Ask me what it's about.
Absolutely devouring that. What's it about?
Bob the Builder.
Right, yeah.
Isn't Beyonce producing a Bob the Builder film? Is that a thing I heard?
I'm going to just say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. But you were asking me earlier if I spent a lot of time thinking about Bob the Builder. I did, yes, because my mum was a childminder, so it was off and on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever watched an episode in reality.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, is it good?
They build something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a mishap along the way.
Mm.
Something's gone wrong. But thankfully, there's one thing that Bob and his machinery have that other builders in the local area, I presume, don't have, and that's the power of friendship.
Yeah.
Whereas the other builders in the local area...
are part of an extremely powerful and aggressive union.
Yeah, and they're whipping all of their anthropomorphized machinery.
Bob works outside the union, and that's why everyone hates him.
Yeah.
That's why he's projected personalities onto all of his tools, because none of his previous colleagues and friends will talk to him now. They just start chatting to his cement mixer.
Yeah, he kept banging on to all of his friends about Atlas Shrugged. I don't know who fucking John Galt is. Build me a house.
Stop talking to your trowel. I'll tell you what, Andy, if I had a builder around and I saw him having a conversation with his cement mixer, I'd call the authorities.
What have I put in his tea? Of course I have put something in his tea.
Yeah.
As part of my relaunched MK Ultra program to study the effects of vast doses of LSD on the modern labourer.
This is one of the more impenetrable ones of these that we've ever recorded. Andy.
Yes.
If any of the tools you use in your day-to-day life were to talk back to you, which one would you most like to talk back to you, and which one would you least like to talk back to you?
I am quite keen on my stapler at work. I've got a very loud stapler, which actually makes me think that if it were to be a talking stapler, that would be quite annoying because it would be too loud.
Yeah.
But it's got a real, it's got an incredible kind of mechanism to you. It's, somebody has gone into this thinking, I want to create a really big, brash stapler. It's not like a really smooth stapling motion. There's a fucking click. There's recoil.
Wow.
It fucking, you know, it's the big bazooka of the stapler world. But it's got quite a satisfying reload motion as well.
So you might go for that for the one that you do want to talk?
No, because I think it would be too loud.
Okay. So you want that one to remain quiet?
Yeah.
And which one would you like to have a conversation with?
Pen. I think, you know, push comes to shove, it's pen.
Sure.
Pen all day for me.
I don't
Baroness Varsity.
I don't really want to chat to my pen. I think I need to concentrate when I'm writing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what if it starts... Because have you ever done that thing where you'll be talking about something whilst writing something down, and then you'll write the thing that you were talking about?
Yeah.
That's silly, isn't it?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a chat to...
Fucking hell.
What, Andy? Why did you express yourself in that way at that moment?
It's just gold, isn't it? It's all gold.
Our two guests in this episode are Lorna Rose Treen and Pat Cahill.
You can find Pat on Twitter at PatCanBeFound. He doesn't tweet very much, to be fair, so maybe there's no point. And he joined the website in October 2011. So a long time without tweeting a huge amount. 611 posts, which if you stretch that over the length, you know, that's not very often. He and John Kearns do a very, very funny show called 110% John Kearns and Pat Cahill. They're doing ones of those on the 10th of June and the 8th of July. They may already be sold out. Who fucking knows?
And Pat Cahill has upcoming work in progresses of his new show that he's working on.
Yeah, so check those out.
Lorna Rose Treen can be found on multiple social media websites. She has a distinctive name. Just type it in. Lorna is doing she's doing her show Skin Pigeon at the Soho Theatre, July 3rd to the 6th. So get tickets to Skin Pigeon at the Soho Theatre, July 3rd to the 6th.
Yeah, very funny pals, these guys.
This is a great episode. We've already recorded it. It was very funny. You can also buy tickets to my show at the Soho Theatre, 29th and 30th of April. The earlier you buy, the cheaper the tickets are.
Yep. And you can come and see me at a range of places.
Lorna Rose Treen and Pat Cahill, thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us both.
Thank you.
Myself and Andy have come to learn something of the following three things. These three things we have some understanding of.
Colonel Sanders.
We know what crabs are.
We're aware of Bob the Builder.
These things we have an understanding of. But we need to know about more things. Pat, in 1 minute, could you please explain to us, bearing in mind what we understand, who Werner Herzog is?
Oh,
your 1 minute starts now.
I'm not entirely sure who Werner Herzog is myself.
Who do you think he is?
What I got to use, which one?
So we understand Colonel Sanders, Krabs, and Bob the Builder. All of them. Yeah. As we understand all.
Werner Herzog is imagine Bob the Builder, but instead of like building houses, he builds movies. And movies are images made. Have you seen? There's a documentary about crabs by David Attenborough, under the sea.
Who's David Attenborough?
David, it's focused on the crabs. So imagine you've seen a crab.
No. Who's David Attenborough?
David Attenborough is like Colonel Sanders of nature. He's the old guy who's in charge of nature. So
he has the same relationship to all nature that Colonel Sanders does to
basically
the chicken.
He invented it, sort of the recipe to perfect nature, and then record it like Bob the Builder would.
Thank you very much, Pat. A minute, you've explained to us that Werner Herzog has some relationship to David Attenborough, who is the Colonel Sanders of nature.
Yeah.
And he once made a documentary about some crabs.
He's a Bob the Builder of films.
Yeah.
What I got from that. Lorna.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks.
That's horrible.
Lorna. In 1 minute, could you please explain to us who Ozzy Osbourne is? Time starts now.
Okay. Ozzy Osbourne is a man like Colonel Sanders and a little bit like Bob the Builder, but Bob the Builder is... and not a real man. He's a cartoon man.
And what's the difference?
A cartoon. Okay, so imagine a crab.
Right.
You know what a crab is.
We do, yeah.
And now imagine that crab not really being there, but you've got like an image in your head of the crab being there. Then someone has
Where is it?
It's not in your head. It's on the TV screen or a piece of paper.
Which?
Is it on a piece of paper or is it on a TV screen? It can be both.
Okay. When I imagine a crab, it's in my head.
Yes. Hmm. But then
how does it feed?
So
if it's in my head,
if it's in your head, then it doesn't feed, but in your head.
Is that why it goes onto the piece of paper to feed?
Thank you, Lorna. Your time is up.
They get to, don't they?
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about who Ozzy Osbourne is?
Oh, God.
Sometimes when you imagine a crab, it goes somewhere else.
And crabs cannot feed inside your head.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Those were some people that we've learned about there. Myself and Andy would like to learn more about some places, because we are aware that other places exist. Pat, bearing in mind what we understand so far, could you please explain to us what Ibiza is? In 2 minutes, your time starts now.
So when Bob's done working for the day, right, he's put down his trowel and he's got a weekend off, maybe 5 days, and he's got a lot of friends.
What's a weekend?
Yeah. Weekend is the end of the time period you have called a week. A weekend is Saturday and Sunday at the end of it. It's the days where Bob doesn't work. He will occasionally...
So when Bob's not working, that's the weekend.
That's exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's the arbiter of this?
He's not in charge of it. He works within it.
Right, okay. It's
who decides the weekend?
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders does.
Right.
No. So Bob the Builder goes on holiday. It's more of a trip than a holiday. He goes and has a really good time with all his friends. He builds a
what
boat.
What, Scoop, and, Muck, Dizzy?
Scoop, Muck, Dizzy, yeah. The rest of them,
Rolly too,
absolutely off their tree.
So they're friends as well as colleagues?
Yeah. Friends, yeah, they socialise on weekends sometimes, at the end of the week, when his trail's down.
And you go holiday. What's a holiday?
A holiday is... Well, when someone like Bob or Colonel, the Colonel has been working really hard perfecting...
Bob or Colonel.
Perfecting their products. they have to take some time out and relax. And relaxation is like, if you imagine a crab.
Right, okay, where is it?
Just lost its shell and is in that soft, squishy phase before its shell hardens, you know, when they shed. When that's all soft, that's relaxation.
So when a crab's shell comes off, it's relaxed.
Yes.
So Bob and the machinery goes to Ibiza to go soft.
They basically do get soft.
Bob goes on holiday and his shell falls off.
Yeah, there's a whole layer of.
Thanks, you, Pat.
I think that was pretty
Thanks
good.
Very much.
What we've learnt there about what Ibiza is, it's the place that they go on holiday.
Yeah.
And going on holiday is what you do at the weekend. Your shell, your outer layer falls off.
Mm. And then it sort of regrows over the course of the weekend and you become hard again.
And this is an important part of Bob's process when he goes from soft to hard.
Yeah, then he picks up his trowel again. Thanks, Pat.
You sounded excited by that.
Lorna, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us where or what Guantanamo Bay is? You have 2 minutes start now.
I was thinking about this earlier.
It's got a run up then.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, okay. You know how Bob the Builder has his building sites?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if Dizzy or Muck or Scoop or Truck...
Rolly.
If they make a mistake on the building site, then Bob might...
If they build something wrong.
If they build the wrong thing.
The wrong thing.
Yeah. Right. Or,
what would be the wrong thing to build?
So instead of... If Bob asks them to build a cement foundation wall...
Yes.
And Scoop builds a temple, but they're building a house, that would be wrong.
What's a temple?
Temple is sort of like the hard shell of a crab, but as a building.
So it's sort of big, hard crab.
Yes. Right. And ornate, like a... Like
an ornate crab.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What is the purpose of it?
Of a temple?
Yes.
So Colonel Sanders is the king of chicken, right?
Right.
He loves
I think he's the colonel of chicken.
But he's the colonel of chicken because he's so good, isn't he? So if you really liked chicken, you would go and see the colonel and pay him respects in the same way you would go to a temple.
I was given to understand that David Attenborough had dominion over animals, so... There's some sort of crossover in jurisdiction between the colonel and Attenborough.
So the colonel likes specifically just one animal and when it is unalive.
Right, okay.
So are the colonel's loyalties to David Attenborough as the sort of authority figure across all animals, and the colonel is just one of his...
deputies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Except David Attenborough sort of looks at the animals and wants to preserve them, whereas the colonel... Actually, I suppose the colonel is a sort of antagonist.
And what's Guantanamo?
Guantanamo Bay is like... It's when you send... It's a prison, which is where you send people that have done wrong.
Right.
But it's an extreme prison for people that have done really wrong.
Thank you. Thank you, Lorna. Andy, would you like to sum up all that information we've got there about Guantanamo Bay?
So if one of the cement mixers were to accidentally build a gigantic crab, then it would need to go to Guantanamo Bay to undergo some sort of procedure.
Which is a place called a prison, which is not just for bad people, but for really bad people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lorna.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
One area of human experience that myself and Andy are particularly interested in is the world of art.
Art.
And creativity. Pat, in 3 minutes, could you please tell us everything you know about My Little Pony? Your 3 minutes start now.
My Little Pony is it's about the same size as an adult crab. Imagine the weight of that in your hand, not the texture or the the wetness, but it's around about the same.
Pat, what's dry? What's an adult?
An adult is a life form that's almost completed its cycle of generating itself into a bigger form, like its ultimate form.
Right.
An adult is the
an adult is a creature's ultimate form.
Death, and death is when a crab. No longer become bees, crab. There ain't no crab no more. That's death.
Okay. Right. So death is a state outside of being your ultimate.
Yes, self. It's the next stage.
And briefly, what's death?
Death is when you are no more. So
you just stop.
Imagine a crab and then the crab's gone.
We're back to imagining crabs again.
Yes. Well, don't imagine a crab.
I'm getting mixed messages here.
Imagine a crab, don't imagine a crab.
I've forgotten the question.
What do you know about My Little Pony?
My Little Pony. So it's
at the moment, we understand a pony is sort of the size of an adult crab.
Yeah, adult crab. In your hand, but it's dry.
It's a miniature version of a bigger thing. So a miniature is Bob the Builder.
Yes.
If you think about his size,
right?
Given what you've actually seen, he's probably about sort of what 6 inches tall. Because he's you see him on the TV screen. So if you're trying to work out how tall Bob is from everything you've noticed.
So you're saying that what we know of Bob, that's not his actual form. He's bigger than that wherever he is.
Well, I don't think he is. I think he is exactly what you think he is. If you think Bob is 6 inches high, which he probably is, given the average TV screen.
I suppose we would need to know what size Dizzy and the Trowel are to really understand the scale of Bob.
Can I put it like this? Imagine you had a 6 foot Bob the Builder. Imagine he was 6 foot and he was right next to you there. And
how tall is 6 foot?
6 foot is the length of 6 feet.
Okay.
It's from the top of the toe to the heel.
And how big's the crab in relation to...
Crab is about 1 foot max.
Right.
They can be bigger.
So, right. We understand that they can be bigger because temples are gigantic crabs.
Yeah.
And Bob is 6 crabs.
Bob is 6 crabs high, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 6 foot, 6 crabs.
Yeah.
Imagine he was holding a small version of himself. In his little
Why is he Why? Doing this?
Well, he might turn to you and say, "This is my little Bob."
Why would he do that?
Because he's a builder.
Because he's a builder.
They can be naughty.
My Little Pony.
So there is a thing called a pony, but there is a much smaller version of that thing called a pony. And in order to get a sort of sense of the scale of it, we are to imagine a 6 foot tall Bob the Builder holding a smaller Bob the Builder in his hand.
Yeah, because he's being naughty.
Because he's being naughty.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
And this is all dry.
Yeah. That's important.
Great. Thanks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Lorna, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us
What happens?
What happens
in the film?
The Thing.
3 minutes starts now.
So I think in the film The Thing, it's about a squidgy sort of alien that lives in a house.
So it's The Weeknd.
What did you say?
This is The Weeknd.
It's The Weeknd.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's in the house.
No,
because it's squidgy. Because it's soft. You go soft at The Weeknd.
It's relaxed, but I think it's full-time relaxed. And I think it's
unemployed.
Yes, yeah, unemployed.
Right. Self-employed. Yeah.
Unemployed.
I think it's.
It doesn't have a job if it's.
It
squishy.
Doesn't have a job, and it's frightening the family that live. So Colonel Sanders, and his family.
There's more of them.
Do you understand family? He lives with Uncle. Okay, Uncle Sanders might have. Miniature Uncle Sanders is that he's.
Is he holding them?
is he being naughty?
They've come out of his wife and or partner, and they all live together in a house.
Who's his wife?
Pardon?
Who's his wife?
His wife is you know how Uncle Sanders likes chicken?
Yes.
Colonel Sanders does.
Colonel Sanders, yeah. He likes, I'm calling him uncle, because he's my uncle. he really loves the 7 herbs and spices. And we were talking about earlier how if you really loved fried chicken, you would go to Colonel Sanders and you sort of worship him.
In a temple. Yeah.
Yes, in the same way that you might worship Colonel Sanders for his chicken, he worships a partner or lover.
Mm-hmm.
Because he likes them as much, perhaps, as you might like chicken.
Because little hymns come out of them.
And then little hymns, as a result of that,
mm-hmm.
come out of his partner.
Okay.
Right.
This is very heteronormative.
Did the little Colonel Sanderses have smaller chickens that they are in charge of?
I imagine one day when Uncle Sanders dies, which is like no crab, then,
right, so once he's reached his final form...
When he's reached his final form,
then
the,
ceases to,
the,
to be.
My little Colonel Sanderses will take over the herbs and spices.
And why is a big squidgy alien living in a house with lots of... with Uncle Sanders, Colonel Sanders, and lots of smaller versions of them and his wife?
So I think they are... They're just getting on with the business, and then at the weekend is coming home.
Do they resent the squidgy thing for not having any business to...
I think they don't recognise it as something they understand. So they, like you guys, and they want it out of their house because it's not similar to them.
Right.
It's different.
They dislike its difference.
Yes.
It's squidginess.
They dislike that it's in their place when they haven't invited it in. And seemingly, I think it comes from space. I think it's an alien.
Right.
Okay, and just briefly, what's space?
Space is upwards.
Right.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That also feel like we got a lot of information there.
Yeah.
Sum it up for us, Andy.
So in The Thing, there is a sort of squidgy thing that's come from space. It doesn't have a job, and it wasn't invited. And as a result, the Colonel Sanders and his smaller Sanderses and his wife.
Uncle Sanders, sorry.
As well as
Colonel Sanders.
They resent the squidgy thing. And they're trying to evict it.
And it came from up.
Yeah, it came from up.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
All useful. Myself and Andy are aware that things happened before myself and Andy. So we'd like to know some more about those things. In 2 minutes, Pat, could you please explain to us what happened when Will Young won Pop Idol instead of Gareth Gates? Please explain that in 2 minutes, starting now.
Okay, so imagine Bob the Builder and Uncle Sanders were singing songs. So it doesn't have to be at the same time, but they're singing songs in the same room, perhaps.
Okay.
And you have to work out whether you think Bob sounds better than Colonel Sanders from their singing voices. So which
singing voice is more pleasing?
Yes. It draws a certain emotion from you.
What emotion do you think that...
It depends how Colonel you feel Sanders at the time. Would. Because sometimes a happy song makes you feel sad, sometimes a sad song makes you feel happy, doesn't it?
Right. So he's got a repertoire.
How does that make any sense? Why would a happy song make you feel sad?
Because think about George Ezra. Oh, no. he's not on the list, is he? Sometimes it's a happy song is sadder because it makes you feel sadder than it should do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the feeling the song produces is not necessarily the feeling you attach to it. So if someone's saying, I'm very happy, la 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 la, it's kind of grating if you're feeling sad. So it makes you feel sad. It's like they're rubbing your face in it.
Right.
In the same way, The Thing is rubbing its unemployment in the Sanders family's face.
Exactly. Yeah, he's like, I've got nothing to do. I'm just having a great time living my life. Look at you lot, day in, day out, churning out spices.
So enjoys its own unemployment, but the Sanderses are resentful of it, and the same emotions could be.
But they really like the herbs and spices. So why is it a chore for them to have to produce?
Well, sometimes people pretend that they like their job more than they do. So they might have been saying, "Yeah, we love the herbs and spices," but actually, it's a drag,
right.
And it's a it's day in, day out. Churning the herbs and the spice.
So the churn that produces the...
It's the churn, that, yeah, right. The spice churn, it's the, but the chicken's going.
Cheers.
Thanks.
So what we've learnt there about when Will Young won Pop Idol instead of Gareth Gates is that... give me a moment. Is that sometimes the happiness of others... can cause you sadness, depending on your relationship to their happiness and your relationship to your own happiness and singing and spices.
Yeah. And presumably, Gareth Gates lost Pop Idol because he did the la-la-la-la-la song and everyone there was sad.
Yeah. Maybe he's unemployed.
Mm. Thanks. Are there any other songs that you can think of?
Any songs?
Yes, we've had an example of a happy song.
Yeah, do you want
we know one song.
We have a sad song.
Bob the Builder. Yeah. We know that one.
Catch it.
Yeah.
Bob the Builder. Ow.
But do you know any other songs?
Yeah, do you want a sad song?
Yeah, sad one, please.
Oh, my heart is in the bears down. I've got a downward heart. My heart's upside down. It's pointing down. It's pointing down. It's pumping out downwards. It's not pumping up. All me blood's in me feet. I've had enough of it.
To be honest, I do understand the sort of oppositional relationship between happy and sad now, because that's made me quite happy.
Yeah, and it's made me happy as well.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that little musical interlude. Mm. Lorna, in 2 minutes... could you please explain to us what happened at the signing of the Magna Carta? The time starts now.
So France and England.
What's France?
France is a place that's not here, but is it's like here. There's lots of places like where we are right now.
Okay.
Right. This what we call a country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're all glued together.
What we call a country.
And then they're all glued together.
They're glued together?
Yes, like lots of countries all together. Like how Bob puts bricks together.
Yes.
So, okay, here's a better one. So we, this country, is a brick.
Did Bob glue the countries together?
Mm.
No.
Right.
But people like Bob helped oversee the recognizing what the countries were.
So we know that sometimes Rowley goes rogue and makes a temple. Are there any countries that you think are a mistake?
Well, when the Earth was being formed,
okay.
So what you remember, David Attenborough, he looks at this quite a lot.
Right.
In his documentaries, when the Earth was being formed,
what's the Earth?
The Earth is we're talking about up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's down and around.
Okay.
And so the down and the round.
So if you come from the Earth, you'd be the opposite of an alien, because an alien comes from up.
Mm. So
yes.
The Sanderses come from
the
within.
The Earth, yes.
Okay.
The Sanderses come from within. The Sanderses come from within Mrs. Sanders.
Right.
So what comes from down?
Well, the sea is also down. So
what's
sea
that?
Creatures, crabs, are sea creatures.
Right.
Crabs live?
They live in the wet thing.
Yeah. The wet thing, yeah. So the wet thing is sort of part of the down.
Okay.
So crabs are down creatures.
Crabs are down creatures.
Right.
Aliens are up creatures.
Yes, and in the middle.
And then the Sanders is just sort of
yeah.
middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Bob's on the TV screen.
Oh, fucking hell.
So you've got
cheers, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
What was I explaining?
So the signing of the Magna Carta, something which took place somewhere on the down. And France is one of the other countries that Bob made.
I think it's to do with France.
Well, we don't know any better.
It's something to do with recognising countries, despite possibly because a lot of them are glued together. And this is something that David Attenborough looks at quite a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
And it happened at some point after the Earth was formed. Thank you, Lorna.
Yeah. I mean, I'm building a picture of history now.
That's good.
The Earth was formed.
Mm.
The Colonel and Uncle Sanders popped out a few more Sanderses.
Bob went on holiday.
Yeah.
Mrs. Sanders comes from down.
It's all useful information.
It's true.
Yeah, we've got nothing to contravene that.
Yeah. There are so many things to learn about. So we'd like to throw some more at you. Pat.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what a moth is? Your time starts now.
Imagine a crab that's attracted to light that just flies.
Right. Wet or dry? Yeah.
Dry. A dry right. crab, smaller.
A dry, hard crab?
Dry, lighter, harder.
Is it drier, flying on the weekend or the week?
Work it harder, drier. Lighter, harder, drier, faster crab. That's a moth.
Does it fly sideways as well?
Yes, it can do. It can fly sideways, it can fly up and down. It goes primarily towards light, which is light is a thing that
helps
light? You stops you from walking into things. It goes in your eyes, bounces off things, and goes in your eyes. It's like a ping pong ball of energy.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, can do if it's too powerful. But isn't that true about anything?
Bob flew into your eyes too hard.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would hurt.
He's a force to be reckoned with. Big, small.
How does the crab propel itself through?
It has. It's like a crab. Not quite. It's imagine a crab, but smaller with wings. Now wings are two.
Is the crab being naughty? Things.
The crab it can be naughty. It's it.
Makes if, its if it's a smaller it, crab, it, is what I'm thinking.
Crab. It's my little crab.
If it was scaled up to the size of a temple, would that serve a different function to a temple, or would it be broadly the same?
Function to a temple.
And what would that be?
Imagine how terrified you'd be if you saw a giant moth, bat.
I mean, it's
crab.
Proving quite difficult to imagine anything at the moment.
A giant crab flying at you.
Why would that be? Why would that be scary?
Well, because it's unusual, isn't it? And we're as an animal scared of the unusual slightly. We get used to it very quickly, and then it becomes usual, doesn't it?
Well, we're in a position where everything is unusual to us.
Yes.
So
are you scared of everything?
It's quite hard to have the context to sort of know fear.
Well, fear is the thing you don't want coming at you quick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Cheers.
A moth is a flying hard, dry crab that's small. Trying to get to light.
Yeah. So if... No. Thanks. Lorna, in 2 minutes, could you explain to us what an after-dinner speech is? Time starts now.
Okay, so you know Bob the Builder, when they do a really good job and they're all really proud of themselves on the farm where they're building, they all celebrate.
Farm now, is it?
What, the building farm? they all high five. They might say, hey, let's go off and hang out, or hey, let's celebrate the weekend early, and they might all go to the pub and have a drink together. Right.
Get soft.
They might go get soft, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they can summon
the weekend earlier.
So it's like a mini weekend. It's an evening. It's where they're going to go to sleep as well.
Right. Okay.
To rest.
And what's sleep?
Sleep is a time where you get soft and recover for the next day of hard. So they might all celebrate.
Right.
So have that in your minds. Now, when you eat a big meal, for example, Uncle Sanders makes chicken that everyone eats with the herbs and spices.
I think Colonel Sanders makes it as well.
The uncle and colonel make it. It's in the family. Right. Once you eat that, you might be like, that was so, what a fantastic time we're having. Like maybe you're celebrating an event. So afterwards you want to have a speech to...
And what's that?
A speech is a sort of conversation, but one person is having it. So lots of words coming out of one person's mouth, like what I'm doing now, but it's loud and they're standing up and people are looking at them. They're watching. They've got an audience.
So a speech is someone with lots of words coming out of them. They're loud and they're standing up.
It's important. A speech is important and it needs to happen, and it's normally...
And what important speech would be given to Bob and the tools after they'd eaten chicken and gone soft? What importance would be conveyed to them?
Important about... They would be, they've done a really good job. They've built a really big wall or a big temple.
They just say what they've done.
Yes, but it's more of a job well done. Maybe they finished early.
The temple was an error.
The temple is an error, but if they wanted to build a temple, that is within their wheelhouse.
So it's possible for them to set out to do it. It's not purely a sort of...
No, temple byproduct. Isn't always accidental.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just if he was bad, he made a temple. But a speech is...
So it's a way that... So Rowley can intentionally misbehave and build a temple.
No, if you're following orders, you're not misbehaving.
Thank you. Right. We'll take that on board and make it a key part of our personality.
Yeah.
Your time is up. Thank you, Lorna.
Yeah, thank you very much. So,
Andy, could you sum up what we've learned about an after-dinner speech?
Yeah. After Bob and the tools have eaten some chicken, then one of them will stand up and congratulate them on building a wall quickly and building a temple if they were asked to do so.
Yeah. Thank you, Lorna.
Thanks.
We have much to learn about human behaviour. Pat, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we'd be doing if we were to have a midlife crisis? Your 2 minutes start now.
When Bob reaches the point in his existence where he's fully adult before death.
Right. He's the at his biggest.
Before no Bob. Well, he's
his
huge,
alternate
he's
version.
Huge.
Yeah,
he's absolutely huge.
Seven crabs?
Seven crabs high. Yeah, right. Around seven crabs high.
Okay.
He will panic because... There's only
because he's too big.
Because he's getting bigger and bigger, yeah. Right. And he feels like there's the only way to go from there is to get smaller. And his
does he have a maximum size? Like...
Well, he doesn't know. No one really knows their own maximum size until they will get there. But that's kind of.
And it's frightening until you come to.
It's frightening.
Terms
yeah, it's,
with it.
you get stretched and stretched, and then you panic, and then from then on you start to. You get smaller.
Is the shrinking process as a result of the panicking?
The shrinking process is the panicking speeds it up because panic makes you hot and you shiver. And the panic
you shiver when you're hot.
You start to like pulsate.
You get
really pink.
Right. Okay.
So it's a sort of hot shivering pink. Bob
gets seven crabs tall.
Yeah.
He starts vibrating.
He starts pulsating. He's sweaty. And he gets very hot.
And he goes, ah!
How long does this take?
This takes 7 years. He's in that state for 7 years.
How do the tools feel about this?
The tools are terrified. They're running around doing what they have got no leader, no guidance anymore.
Does he get much building done while he's in this state?
No, none. They're just
absolutely
moving
surrounded
slurry.
By temples.
he's, He's surrounded. Yeah, they're just building temple after temple. Mm-hmm. They're sad. They miss him.
Thanks. Cheers.
So a midlife crisis is
sounds harrowing.
Is when you become very large and. A midlife crisis is when you become very large and panic and turn pink, quiver, pulsate, and go on a sort of permanent weekend for 7 years.
Yep.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Lorna, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would be doing if we were to identify a body? Time starts now.
So you can identify a crab, correct?
Yes.
Where is it?
What?
Where is it?
Where is the crab?
Yeah.
The crab, it lives on the beach or near the sea.
So it's not in our heads?
It's not in your head. No, the crab, it exists. The crab is. So when you're walking along the beach and you can see a crab, you might point at the crab.
Why?
Because you've recognised it and you want to say to your friend, I know what that is.
Is this sort of good practice?
To identify crabs. I think sometimes it's interesting to share with your friends things you like observations that you have.
Right.
But the thing is with identifying a body is it's normally a much darker and sadder situation.
Right.
Like the sad music earlier.
But that made me happy.
Yeah. So you walk. so if it's a much sadder situation, is it poor form if you're walking along a beach to point to a body, say to your friend, "That's a body."
Body.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that it might feel, because you're not expecting, as we covered earlier, you're not expecting to see a body there. So it might feel inappropriate to point and say that's a body, but it would be helpful to call the authorities.
Who are they?
The authorities are
Sanders.
Sanders is the authority on chicken. I'd say Bob is the authority on the building farm.
And David Attenborough is the authority on all nature.
Oh, yeah, all nature.
So Colonel Sanders would be the wrong person to call in this situation.
Yes, you wouldn't want to call Colonel.
And he's got his own problems. Yes. Established.
He's dealing with the chicken. But
what's a body?
A body is what contains all of your thoughts and organs. It's your outer shell. It's your shell, but it's not just your shell. It's also like the skin of the crab. It's the container, box.
And all things have bodies.
All things have bodies. Yes. All things have bodies apart from all things that are alive have bodies. Include, like, if you think about it, like crabs or the thing had a body. It was just a weird body, right. A squidgy body.
Scooter.
Scooter does not have a body. It is a machine, but it is alive. But
it has thoughts.
Yes, but it's not. It's on the television, isn't it? So the thing's on the television.
You said it's alive. Our body's dead.
Bodies are not dead, but they are actually loads and loads of miniature things that are alive that make up a big dead thing.
Thank you. Your time is up. Andy, would you like to take us through what you understand identifying a body to mean?
So sometimes on the beach, a large number of small things get together and start to contain thoughts. And it's poor form to draw attention to that.
It's poor form to identify a body, but it's good form to identify a crab.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lorna.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Myself and Andy have use of the English language, but not an understanding of it. So we'd like to understand more about it. Pat, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what the phrase daylight robbery means? Your 2 minutes starts now.
So if Colonel Sanders were to open up a new shop in Hemel Hempstead.
What's Hemel Hempstead?
Hemel Hempstead is a feeling. It's a place. It's a location where people
like
can
France.
Be. Like France.
Was it built on purpose?
Yes. Hemel Hempstead was built with the plan of being a town to go soft in.
Right.
A holiday destination.
Basically.
Right. Okay.
If you want to. And Bob,
is it prohibited to be hard there? Or
no, it's not illegal to be hard. in Hemel Hempstead.
But frowned upon.
Frowned upon. It's a place, most people are soft in Hemel Hempstead. So, this new store's opening up.
And
okay. He's been grinding his spices, getting everything ready. Mm. And he opens the front door.
Mm.
Day one, opening. And in comes someone, like, imagine Bob had turned.
He's gone pink and throbbing.
He's panicked. And his his response is he has a crisis and he goes, I'm gonna start taking things that aren't mine. So that these that things that aren't mine are objects of any form.
The spices
that someone has put an energy into that then says that energy is attached to them.
Right.
So Bob flops into the shop.
Yeah.
Bob explodes into the shop.
Pulsating.
Where's your spices, he says. Where's your spices? Because they're not his yet.
His voice has changed.
Where's your spices? And he takes a handful of spices, stuffs them in his fat mouth. He says, this isn't helping anyone. He runs out. He said, why am I the only hard person in Hemel Hempstead?
So he's holding his trowel at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a trowel full of spice in the old mouth. Screaming.
Cheers, Pat. Thank you.
And does Colonel Sanders not have any mechanism to prevent this happening?
None at all.
Too busy dealing with the thing upstairs. Thank you, Pat. You've explained to us that daylight robbery... Daylight robbery
is one specific instance.
Is a thing that happened once. Midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Bob flopped into a new shop that Colonel Sanders was opening. He stuffed all the spices in his mouth and had some complaints about what the spices were doing in sort of society and to Bob.
That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Lorna. In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would mean were we to say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
The squeaky wheel gets the grease is sort of like when something is needing attention, you give it attention. So Bob the Builder...
Yes,
it certainly sounds like he needs some attention.
Yeah, he needs some help. So post his... crisis. He is looking in a desperate state. He doesn't look like the Bob that we recognize, like the crab on the beach. He looks like the dead body on the beach. He needs some help getting back to good Bob or a new better Bob.
So in that situation it's okay to identify him.
Yes, it's okay to. I think you'd it's want okay to gently
to identify a Bob mid crisis.
Yeah, you'd want to sit him down gently and say, Bob, I see what you're going through, and I think we need to address some issues, and like, what do you need from me? So Bob's lover might do that for him.
But who's that?
One of the tools, probably.
Which
Dippy or Clutch? Boot.
Which of the tools do you think is likely? Because it's never explained in Bob the Builder which one of them he's taken as a lover, but which one of them do you think is more likely?
I think,
or maybe multiple.
Yeah, there's no reason why it can't be multiple, but I suppose, which one did you find the most loving? Skip? Is Skip nice? Which was not the naughty
one? I don't really have a concept of love, but
Muck.
The same way that Colonel Sanders really loves the herbs and spices.
Is it the same way?
It's similar.
Is that why Bob complained about them?
is that why the Colonel resents the thing? Because it doesn't have to love the spices in the way that he does.
It's sort of the opposite of the way that the Colonel feels about the thing. That's love. So Bob, and actually Bob needs some love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Greasing the squeaky wheel.
Andy, would you like to explain what we learnt about the squeaky wheel gets the grease?
So after Bob has had his episode, it may be incumbent on whichever of the tools he has taken as a lover at that time to sit him down and have a word, offer some guidance and kindness in his moment of need. Hmm. And that's what the squeaky wheel gets the grease refers to.
And Colonel Sanders is fucking the spices.
Loving, I believe, was the,
cool.
the term which we used.
So, Andy.
I mean, these two things are intimately linked by the sounds of it. So it could be that the Colonel's indiscretion is responsible for Bob's state.
Mm.
If Bob had shoveled unloved spices into his mouth, we may be in a different position.
And given the nature of the Colonel's indiscretion, the smaller Sanderses must be delicious. Andy,
yeah.
At the end of that, who do you feel has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
Well, I think we've gained a very, very broad understanding of a number of things.
Mm.
I think that I might have to say that Lorna gave us a fuller understanding of labour and familial relationships, which may well be more useful.
And up.
And up as well, not forgetting up and down. Yeah, which is a sort of lateral move from England, I think.
I think Pat gave us some real key understanding of how emotions work in a lot of the topics we discussed.
And scale.
And scale and a midlife crisis, which ended up being part of a lot of things. But I think Lorna put that into context. So I would agree with you that Lorna provided the most satisfactory explanations. So Pat Cahill, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And Lorna Rose-Treen, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. I guess that was his biggest point.
Oh!
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.